Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
And drops back, throws a mounting pass upfield. Reggie Tom Fears gathers it in on the dead run and races all the way to score from Los Angeles. A 72-yard touchdown play.
First down inside his own five from his own end zone. Sacked and a safety on Rudolph. Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews got to him.
Inspired by the presence of Captain Jack Youngblood, playing in pain with his broken leg. A savage Ram defense.
They hand it to Steven. Great jump cut. 45.
Sees a whole burst through it. 20.
Side steps to tackle. Runs left. 25 still on his feet. 10. 46-yard goal by number 39.
Running back, number 29, Eric Dickerson.
Johnny Hecker, a high school quarterback, is going to throw. The fake is on it. He's got a first down to Stephen Bailey.
Mike Jones made the tackle. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
Rams Talk Radio with Derek Ciappala and Michael Stewart.
Welcome to Rams Talk Radio. This is Derek Ciappala, my co-host, my partner in crime, former Los Angeles Rams defensive back Michael Stewart, for our big Arizona Cardinals preview. Big Dog, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing big. I'm doing good. Big Dog, I'm Big Dog right back at you. Doing good, man. Just ready to get into these Arizona Cardinals versus our beloved Rams. And, man, got some good stuff, I believe, for the people.
Well, one thing we can definitely count on today, a visit from Ed Smith from the Believe Network, his podcast covering the Cardinals, also covers them on local radio on Saturday, which I'll be on that show this Saturday to give them my point of view on the Rams. We're going to be talking to him for close to 30 minutes today, previewing from his point of view how he views this matchup. And, of course, you and I are going to chop this up right now. And, you know, coming this game, both teams are 3-0. We're looking at the early like forerunner for who's going to kind of control things in the NFC West. Right away, if you're to have a first thought, Mike, on how things are going to go this weekend, what's it going to be?
Well, you know, the thing is, again, protect home court or protect home field in this case. So I think the Cardinals know that they're going to have their hands full coming now in the SoFi Stadium, as we talked about, truly is now our home stadium. You know, we're not sojourners along the road, traveling from here and here and borrowing places. This is our spot. So I think they know that coming in, and they know they're playing a good team. And I would imagine they know that because there's a solid quarterback at the helm, they're going to have something to deal with. So I'm going to call the game 21-17 right now, Rams.
You're going that low scoring? I think it'd be higher than that.
Well, you would think so, but I think now that Aaron Donald and the boys are starting to get revved up, and I think what will happen is we'll jump up. Arizona is going to try to, you know, counter, and I think we'll end up with a couple picks after the game as well.
I hope that's the case. I mean, they've been really doing a good job, I think, of creating turnovers, even when they're in, you know, a rough situation. I'm also thinking about, you know, these two teams are very familiar with each other. They have specific things that go for them in this matchup. I'm curious as to how the Rams attack defensively. Kyler Murray's been playing well. Ed Smith points out, as we're going to talk about later, you know, some of the concerns he has about Kyler Murray. And I'm wondering here what they're going to do to try and contain him. What's the big goal? Because honestly, the Rams, if there's anything inconsistent thus far, it's been pressure. Sometimes they're all over somebody. They got all over Tom Brady for a lot of the game last week, but then sometimes they disappear and you're like, where's the pressure at? So I'm looking to see how they deal with this young, dynamic quarterback, Kyler Murray, and if they can really kind of lock him in and make that whole offense one-dimensional. This game should be a pretty solid Rams win. But, you know, the Cardinals, they're better.
They are.
They're better than last year.
And, especially defensively.
Yeah, and that was next. I mean, looking at where they are going to be, their pass rush, Chandler Jones has been phenomenal.
You're right.
So I'm just looking at those matchups. I guess, really, to get with you here, if you're going to take three keys for this game, things that make the huge difference, what are they for you?
Well, I think offensively, we're going to have to sustain drives. And then we're going to have to finish. You know, you don't want to play a team like this getting in the red zone or green zone, some people call it, and you're just coming away with 3 points. You want to be able to finish. Definitely, I think we need to hopefully get our run game a little bit more on track. That will definitely be beneficial. And then defensively, you're going to have to cage up Kyler Murray some way. He's a guy that has that ability to extend a play, make a play when there isn't one. The thing with Tom Brady, he's truly one of the last of the true drop back quarterbacks. Not going anywhere. He's going to be where he supposedly might slide this way, slide that way. But his thing is he knows how to get the ball out. Thing with Kyler, because of his ability to escape, run around, you know, sometimes if you're not getting off the field defensively, that stuff can then start to wear you down at the end.
Right. So same kind of key for you is control Kyler. Control Kyler.
Control Kyler.
Control Kyler.
Control Kyler. Extend the ball on offense. Make sure you're picking up your first down when you're supposed to and scoring when you need to. When you're inside the 10, you got to get 7.
Do you think that the Cardinals have the secondary? You're a secondary guy. We all know that, you know, former safety. Can this Cardinals secondary, as it is, keep up with what the Rams do in the passing game?
Well, see, that's the thing. If we see a lot of what we saw last week built on, now you got DeSean Jackson even more in the mix. I mean, that guy can still run. And so that's the thing you love about a guy who's super fast. When they get slow, they're still fast. And so, but they got some solid safeties and Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson, got a rookie at corner. But again, the pass rush is what makes the secondary either good or not so good. When you got pass rush, guys are looking great. When you don't, guys are able to find a way to get open. You just can't hold them that long against very good receivers, which we have. So, you know, I believe we're going to be able to find the creases. You got a quarterback again in Stafford who can get the ball to him. So, I think that's an advantage, but absolutely. I think we've shown now we have formidable offense, whether it's Cup, whether it's Deshaun outside, you know, whether it's Higbee, you know, getting out the middle or kind of in the flats. So you have some different options, you know, offensively that make a big difference.
Gotcha. I mean, I think that the Rams key is going to be that pass rush. Can they keep the pass rush away? They've been doing a great job of it. This is their biggest test, I believe, pass rush-wise. Chandler Jones on the edge. The Cardinals really beefed up that front seven. Before, I mean, this is what the NFC West has been doing. They've been reacting to Sean McVay since 2017. The 49ers did it. The Cardinals are doing it.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Seattle's been doing it. You know, if you can get to a Rams quarterback, you make a lot of problems happen. And so they're dynamic in their pass rush, and we have yet to see the Rams pass defense or their pass protection really break down much. You know, there's been a couple of things, but this has been a pretty stout offensive line thus far. And I think that's the key. There are too many weapons. And honestly, Stafford's seeing the field so well. I don't see the Cardinals being able to consistently stop the Rams offense enough if they don't get a pass rush on them. And it's all pass rush right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So absolutely, you're going to have to slow down Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt. I mean, he's got a little left in the tank. But guys like him, you know, they're veterans and they're savvy for a reason. And so he's going to bring, if it's nothing else, his leadership. So absolutely, that front seven, we have to be able to handle. And again, that's why I believe that given the time, Stafford's going to find the guy that's open. Again, whether it's Robert or all the rest of the guys we already talked about, and if you give him time, we can see that DeSean Jackson can still get behind people. So, again, that I think that's a big advantage for us. We've always talked about the consistency in the O-line, and it looks like it's been the same starters thus far all year. So, as long as some guy doesn't get too banged up or what have you, you get in the consistency, guys are playing more. Again, this will be game number four. So in my world, game number four is where everybody's getting pretty much in the game shape and form. Now they're timing. And I would say, you know, offensive line calls are, you know, a lot more sharp and crisp. Things that you're doing defensively, like we saw last week, Aaron and the guys are starting to get home a little more. Aaron was getting close even still. But I think now, fourth week, those things will now start to really come to fruition where it's a big, big, big change. So, but always keep an eye on the turnover game. That's going to be key.
Turnover game. And the Rams have been, well, they've been awesome. They've changed everything with the fact that they haven't had the mistakes. We got one interception in three games from Stafford right now. And when they're not making those mistakes, there's a lot they can get away with defensively and still be all right. It's a huge difference. Huge difference. All right. So, folks, before we move on, want to let you know who we're sponsored by? So check it out.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so Ed Smith, former Eagle, former Cardinal, covers the Cardinals now from the Believe Network, has his own radio show in Arizona as well. Let's check it out. Let's see what he has to say. All right, folks, I'm here with Ed Smith, the NFLer, motivational speaker, has himself a show on the Believe Network covering the Cardinals, and I got to tell you, he was one of my favorite conversations last year, so I'm glad to have him back, and I'll be doing the return visit on his show this weekend, and I got to tell you, I don't know, Ed, how you're feeling about this game. I'm hyped. One, it's a home game for us, and for once, the Rams actually have a home stadium where we're seeing fans killing it. I don't know if you watched that Rams-Bucks game last weekend, but the crowd was lit, and it's true home field advantage for us, first time for a long time. I'm very curious as to how you think this is going to go down, how these teams match up. Let's hop into it, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Derek, and man, great to be back with you, and obviously we're going to have a second dance later on this season, mm-hmm. but I mean, at first, you have to be very excited about, you know, through the offseason, you'll go out and get Stafford, and we all thought we knew what he would bring to this offense and your team, and so far it looks pretty good from your end. I like what I'm seeing as far as what the how they're utilizing him and the deep threats and the different things he brings to your offense in comparison to what Goff did. I am loving this matchup. I didn't see the Cardinals coming into this one at 3-0 as well. You know, I had them at 2-1 at this point. Obviously, Tennessee decided not to show up in week one.
Yeah.
And that really surprised me. And then they got away with one against Minnesota with a missed kick that very easily could have been the first loss of the season. And then they go over to Jacksonville and handle their business, not what I would say impressively in the first half, but obviously defense turned it on. And next thing you know, we had that large a gap as far as the victory. This game right here, and you and I were chatting before we went live here, this is like the barometer for me. This is the litmus test in terms of, are the Cardinals really for real in terms of, you know, taking those steps, being one of those teams that have to be in consideration for, you know, winning a division, getting into the playoffs, mm-hmm. and dare we say, like, you know, a Super Bowl team, you know. I talked about it earlier. We were 6-3 at one point last year. My radio partner and I took a beating because we had predicted the Cardinals at like 7-9, you know, and at one point they were 6-3 and everybody was, you know, they're just taking shots at us. Like, you know, you clowns don't know what you're talking about, you know, and the next, you know, they end up 8-8. So I'm trying to like temper everybody out here because obviously you get excited when your team jumps out to these great records. But this week right here, starting with the game against the Rams, we've got a stretch, man, where we could very easily come back to earth. And, you know, this is going to be a real, I guess, test. And it's going to be a real kind of, I guess, measuring stick for us. And, you know, I know you guys are thinking the same. And just to speak on it real quick, you mentioned your new stadium, your fans. Man, how cool is it to have football back with fans in the stadiums and some of these new arenas and everything that were just dead silent last year? You can actually hear, mm-hmm. You know, the players out there, you know, talking to each other. Now we got real crowds. I know you guys are excited. This is a big game on your calendar as well. So like I said, I'm really geared up for this one.
Well, I mean, when the Rams moved back from St. Louis, you know, you were in the Coliseum. The Coliseum was just not an NFL stadium. It had poor parking. Tailgating was a nightmare, and a lot of times, because of that, it made more sense to these fans who were used to, for 20 years, just going out to the sports bar and watch the game. Man, just go out the sports car. This is not fun for us. And yeah. So a lot of times, you can go into the Coliseum, and you're playing the 49ers. 49ers got 40% or more of their fans there. It doesn't feel like a home game at all. Well, that's been remedied. That's in remedy, and you actually have a stadium, not just a coliseum, how do you say it? A palace for football.
Yes. Yeah.
A palace for football, and it is totally geared toward that game. Everything about it makes the game better, from the Oculus around it. And, you know, that first game of the Bears, you didn't really get the whole sense of what it was like. You saw it in the Tampa Bay game. Like a true blue, the first time in a very long time, the Rams really have a home field advantage, and you could just sense it through the TV. You're watching it at home, you could just see it, bam, loud. And that's why I think the Rams have a real advantage this weekend with the Cardinals. You know, the Cardinals have been going out to LA for years now, and like I said, it's not, you know, it's a nice crowd, but it's not this crowd.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's, you know, two teams that have a lot going for them. I'm pretty high on the Cardinals. I think you seem a little bit more cautious. I think they're better than last year. I think they're much better than last year.
I do too.
Yeah. For this game, I just look at it as, how do the Rams match up with the Cardinals themselves? And I think they match up pretty well. It's going to be, from your point of view, though, I want to see how you view it. You know, so right away, Ed, let's take a look at that Cardinals defense. Right now, how does it look matching up with this Rams offense?
Well, the interesting thing, Derek, is kind of going to be like, in some instances, it's going to be like weakness against weakness and strength against strength almost. And I talk about, like, right now, our run defense has, you know, we got away with basically jumping all over Tennessee earlier in the game in the first one. They never had a chance to get Henry on track. We pretty much just abused them. Tannehill was on the run. Chandler Jones, 5 sacks by himself in that game. So, you know, we kind of just jumped right out on them. A following week against the Minnesota Vikings with a very similar attack, I mean, you got Dalvin Cook, Kirk Cousins, who's not going to blow you away, but if you give him time, keep him clean, he can pick you apart. And they did just that along with their running game. They actually gassed us. I mean, they went up and down the field from the start of the game all the way through. And like I said, minus a missed field goal, they should have won that game. The other thing was they made some adjustments in terms of how they, you know, and I give some of these teams in week one, you had no idea what you were going to be facing. We had a defense that nobody's seen for a year. You know, nobody played in the preseason. Chandler Jones was hurt during last year, so you really didn't have no recent tape on him. He comes out and just like he was on a mission against Tennessee, but then Minnesota gets a chance to look at the film, and what do? They make adjustments. You know, if you want to move him around, we're going to have plays where we can go opposite. If we're running, we can go run away from him. Or if we're going to pass, we obviously have some chip blocks and different things. So they had some chance to look at film. They ran the ball really effective against it. Then we go against Jacksonville, and Jacksonville pretty much did the same thing. They ran the ball consistently, if not for some bonehead plays in the second half. Because you got to remember, we went into that second half down 13-7 after the debacled long field goal kick run back for a touchdown. Then all of a sudden, you know, we score early in the second half, and then they want to start doing flea flickers and stuff like that, putting their young quarterback in, you know, peril. And like I said, our defense took control of that game. We ran away with it. The blueprint for the Rams should be, let's run this ball, because they haven't shown that they can stop over the last couple weeks. The problem is your running game is not being utilized at all, and definitely not effectively, in my opinion. That would be the way that the Rams might want to attack. Now, they might look and say, hey, we got Sony Michel, we got some different things we can do. Let's go ahead and attack that. Now, on the flip side, offensively, you know, our Kyler Murray's been unbelievable in stretches. And then every now and then, in both games, the last two, he's made a bonehead pick six, and you're like, you're scratching your head with some of these other interceptions and things like that. We haven't gotten our running game going. We are offensively, as far as our passing game, it's been pretty good. You know, do you guys come out and you press us? Do you, you know, with your defensive front, the key to this game is going to be on both fronts as far as whose defensive line can make the others look like they, you know, have at times, or, you know, can we stop the pay? Because I guarantee you the formula that you guys have used over the last few years for Kyler Murray has been pressure on the edges, but maintain your center, like the middle of the pressure up the middle as well, to kind of box him in. Don't let him scramble outside. But you guys are going, it's going to be kind of a competition of wills. Who enforces their will on the other? If we can get Kyler out in space, you know, utilize our wide receiver court is getting better, we'll have a chance. But if you guys can bottle him up and then make him a pocket passer, that's his kryptonite. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, do you guys come out with your running game? How do you do against Kyler defensively? Can you keep him in that pocket? It's going to, you know, be early and often, I'm going to be looking for like these keys. You know, if he's able to escape, if he's able to do this, if you guys get any semblance of a running game, and then you got Stafford, who is just unbelievable in terms of getting the ball over the top. That's what you guys couldn't do last year with Goff, in my opinion. There wasn't a lot of over-the-top action. Stafford can take the top off of anybody's defense, and if you guys can give him time and he can get over the top and then with play action and everything else, this game has a potential to be not as close as a lot of people think it might be.
Well, the thing, you mentioned the running game for the Rams, and you know what is really different about this team, the Rams' offense, Sean McVay's offense, really is built around the run. What they've shown, though, is at least in the last, I mean, two out of the last three games, I think, what they do is they don't run. They'll give you the cursory run here and there.
Yeah.
But what they do is they'll pick you apart with some short passes here and there, get those defensive linemen off their game a bit, on their heels more, because if you over pursue on those short passes, those running backs, tight ends, they're gone. And yeah. So what they're doing is they're picking you apart short first, and then they take their shot. They don't even need to run.
Mm-hmm.
And then come late third and fourth quarter, they start running. So the numbers are a little deceptive because they really are using the short passing game to set up late running. And by the time you get to the late run game, you don't need 5-10 yards. You move the pile here 3 yards. Good, cool. We're running clock out. All right. Hey, Sony Michel, he's got 5-6 here. And so that's what we're seeing. And I don't necessarily like that, but it's working for them thus far. And it's working because what you said. It's working because you have a quarterback who reads his progressions, and that was Jared Goff's flaw. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff saw pressure, and he just couldn't pick his progressions fast enough. And he had every ability that Stafford has. I mean, when I say Jared Goff has, especially when he's out, his deep outs, there's no one better in the game. I'm serious. But he can't read his progressions fast enough. And I don't think it's ability. I don't think it's perception. I think it's lack of preparation. And I think that's where McVay got bottled up. All these last couple of years where people were complaining about the Rams offense being, well, McVay can't adjust. He can't adjust. That's the worst thing. It's a bunch of BS. McVay could adjust. He lacked faith in his quarterback. And all of a sudden, you got a guy you can trust. And this offense is like, they can kill you in five different ways. And that's where I want to go to you on this. Because the Cardinals have this. They have a pass rush. You know, you have Murphy at corner, who's really picked up his game, man. He's really come along and become, you know, a solid corner for you guys. A really good corner for you guys. There's talent in that defense. How do you deal with an offense like the Rams that has so many different facets and so many ways to hurt you?
Well, you know, I think we're going to have to utilize these kind of hybrid linebackers that we have in Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins. And Collins has not gotten a lot of action so far in these first three games. They utilized him a bunch in the preseason. Everybody got enamored with him, thinking, oh, my God, you know, he's out there making calls and, you know, running the defense. And then we get to the regular season, and they kind of put him on the shelf a little bit. And I think that's actually a wide move there because, you know, preseason is one thing. You get to the regular season, everything speeds up and becomes more magnified. And I think they were just giving him a quick taste. Isaiah Simmons has been very impressive to me so far. And I think they're going to have to use him to cover your tight. We might have talked about this last year, especially tight ends were our bugaboo, man. We made every tight end coming here feel like they were the next Pro Bowl tight end. You know, it was like our mission to make sure we uplifted their confidence. And, you know, you guys have Higbee over there, if I'm not mistaken. I think, you know, we're going to have to, one, control him because what happens, you don't control the tight end. All of a sudden, out of the middle of the field is very just wide open. And then that opens everything up over the top as well. So the first mission is to make sure we kind of silence that running game, especially if we do not correct things going on in our run defense, everything else is going to be mute because that's where it all starts for me. If you allow you guys to establish that running game now, and you know how creative McVay is, He'll run it here when he has to, show it. And all of a sudden it's play action. The next thing, Derek, is we have to stop the big plays. You guys getting over the top of us for those long, we saw what DeSean Jackson did last week. We can't have that. And that's what happened, in my opinion, to Tampa Bay. What happened to Tampa Bay, they're used to, if nothing else, volleying back and forth. Well, they were volleying, but you guys kept staying ahead of them. And then the next you know, you jumped out even further ahead, and then they're playing catch up. We can't allow that to happen. And for one main reason, we can't allow that to happen because we're coming in with absolutely no running game ourselves. So if we come in there and we don't establish a run, now all of a sudden we're playing from behind, and we let you guys start teeing off with that defensive front, getting after Kyler, man, it could get really ugly really fast. So the key for us, we got to establish some type of running game. We got to stop yours. We got to shut the tight end down. We also have to keep away from those big, huge plays that are always lurking out there. If we don't do those things, we'll be in trouble. If we do manage to do those things with the dynamics of our offense, we have a chance to win this game. I'm just not too sure because, like I said, we really haven't shown our ability to run the football at all to this point as well, other than Kyler having some runs, especially when we get down near the red zone. But like our established running game right now is we don't even know who our number one running back is. You know, is it Edmonds or is it Connor? You really can't tell because neither one of them has really taken hold of that position, and Kingsbury hasn't utilized it, meaning trying to establish it yet either.
Well, I also look at the way the Cardinals' offense has to work this. You have another thing to your advantage is teams have kind of provided a blueprint on how to attack this Rams offense, and it really goes back to the Packers last year. And the Packers really kind of employed this death by a thousand paper cuts strategy. Just short passing, get right outside of the defensive line. If you can block enough that defensive line is not getting pressure, they'll just drain the clock dry. The Bears did that and stayed in the game. The Colts did that and almost beat them. Okay, and the Bucs did a good job of that, especially in the first half of the Rams game. The Rams are not the same defense they were last year, where they would commonly just shut teams into three and outs. They've really struggled with that this far. They will create more turnovers, but they will put that offense on the field. I mean, they'll put their defense on the field much longer. They have a harder time getting out. So if the Cardinals can control the pacing, if they can really utilize the dink and dunk strategy that teams have been really kind of using against them, they have a much better shot. If you see the Rams defense getting three and outs on them, getting pressure, because the Rams don't let the numbers fool you. They're not getting the kind of pressure it looks like in the numbers. They're coming in bunches, but it's not consistent, at least not yet. Now, another thing, too, the first two games, tackling-wise, the Rams weren't really tackling anybody very well. Mm-hmm. They got a lot better in the Bucs game. So, and now we're into our fourth game now. Is the tackling coming around? A lot of those players didn't play in preseason. I can imagine it's the same for the Cardinals. Guessing. I'm seeing your head shaking, yes. And so I'm guessing you've seen the same kind of trends, having a hard time tackling. I mean, what are you seeing there?
I've said from day one, Derek, especially how we handled our preseason, nobody played. You know, and get the first, and I've said to my radio partner a few times, radio and a podcast partner, the first month, 4 to 5 games of the season are basically like preseason games for everybody, meaning our offensive line is trying to figure things out. Now everything's coming live and fast and much quicker speeds. Same thing for guys on defense. They're having to recognize things they haven't really seen since the end of last season because you can only simulate so much during practice. You got no work in the preseason in the preseason games. And then even with that being said, even if you did get some preseason work in, they're preseason. Nobody's really going at that. You know, the speed from preseason even to the regular season is unbelievable. So as far as tackling, man, like I said, the first 4 to 5 weeks of the season, you're going to see a lot of missed tackles, a lot of missed assignments, a lot of blown coverages, a lot of offensive lines that just look like they're sometimes clueless because everybody's trying to catch up. And it will improve, and I think you're right on target. This is game 4, game 5, game 6. We're going to see a lot more crisper movement, tackling. Everybody's going to be catching up to the speed of the game, including some of the rookies and younger guys that are getting their first taste. But that's, I mean, for me, that's a big bugaboo for the defensive, if nothing else, the tackling. And I'll bring this point up, even just working through some of those first few weeks of soreness. We used to hit so much back in the day, Derek, by the time we got to the first week of the regular season, all that initial soreness and hurt, that was gone. Now you're used to it and you get it to, you know, you just roll into it week to mm-hmm. week. A lot of these guys are feeling that hurt. Like they're the first couple weeks, like we used to have two-a-days, they're feeling that now, but it's actually regular season play. So that's, and there's a lot of things that these guys are working through. Tackling is definitely something that everybody's behind, and I totally agree with you there.
I mean, looking at the injury report, too, like today's injury report, see on both teams, rest.
Yeah.
You know, last year I saw a couple rest days here and there, especially for guys like, you know, like Whitworth, who's 39 years old. But now I'm seeing Aaron Dahl the rest day, and I'm seeing a whole bunch of Cardinals with rest, and I'm thinking, man, these guys, you know they're sore. They are sore.
Let me tell you something, Derek. Hopkins has not played. He hasn't practiced since probably the worst first week of training camp. He is literally didn't practice during training camp for the most part, played none of the preseason games, and now during the first few weeks of the season, he's on the injury report, and he's not practicing at all. So, I mean, that's the new trial. If we did this back in the day, man, I might still be playing. I might sell a few snaps of me. But, yeah, I mean, that's just the new trend these days.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, you know, how I wonder how that – here's, you know, something my partner Mike talked about was, especially in this COVID era, especially with the changes we're seeing in the game, you know, injuries. Are we going to see – we've seen some already. Are we going to see more injuries because of this, what you're talking about? Basically, you're describing a toughening up.
Yeah.
Are we going to see more injuries because we're seeing this lack of toughening up in the preseason where you can kind of pace your way through, get your bumps? Now you're full bore into a regular season where everything matters and you got to play. Is that risk there, in your opinion?
I totally am on that side of the fence. I have other people that will always tell me, well, what's the risk if you go out and let these guys play in the preseason? They can get hurt in, you know, in August. And I'm like, well, at least they're getting up to speed. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't go out there and play reckless during the preseason. That's for the guys that are trying to make the roster, you know, the back end guys. You know, and I know you can't control everything because we do lose guys in the preseason, but something has to be said for getting up to the speed of the game. We look around the league, and the new term is the soft tissue injuries, Derek. You're mm-hmm. seeing a whole lot more of those. You're seeing guys who have not put any work in during the preseason games. Now, all of a sudden, you get into the regular season, and there's no gradual jump, and now, all of a sudden, you're seeing all these pulled hamstrings, pulled groins, quads, different things, because now you're asking your body. And I equate it to this. I talk about this all the time. It's like getting on a treadmill. You know, you normally hit the start button, you start to walk, and then you mm-hmm. start hitting the button, and you gradually start getting up the pace. But now imagine getting on a treadmill with elevation at 8, and the speed is already at 10, and you got the thing going 100 miles out between your legs. You got to jump on it and just start running. For me, that's what you're doing when you take absolutely no attention to the preseason. And then you expect these guys to just go right out there and go full board. Everybody's at risk. And I think you are exactly right. The injuries and else, all the experts will tell you, well, it's the same number that we usually see. You know, well, I think it's more the big time players we're seeing now. You know, you can't account for a dude that's playing just special teams. He gets hurt running down, pulls a hammy or whatever. You know, now we're looking at McCaffrey's and TJ Watts and people like that in comparison to. You know, so I said, and I don't know if it's ever going to change. I don't know. Once you open that bottle, this might be the new way.
Yeah, Pandora's box has been thrown wide open. And, you know, it used to be, you usually would see another 3 or 4 major player injuries to start a year. That's pretty much how I can remember. You can almost count on it every year. But week one this year alone, we saw teams getting shelled. I couldn't believe the sheer numbers of injuries you're seeing week 1, week 2. You know, I'm thinking, looking at the Rams right now, we've lost a couple of guys, but we lost guys in training camp this year.
Yeah.
Like Cam Akers, but, you know, we, since the season started, we've been, I think, knock on wood, pretty fortunate to nothing major happened yet since the season started. But I'm looking at teams across the board getting demolished. Tua in Miami. I mean, these guys are getting falling like flies.
And think about this too, Derek. There's always a yin and a yang, right? You don't work your offensive line at all during the preseason. Then you get out there and they look like some of these offensive lines to have. And what happens? They get free shots from your quarterback. So these guys mm-hmm. are not ready yet. Your quarterback takes a beating, broken ribs. It's always something happens because of something else. And like I said, I think this is what we're going to be looking at moving forward. A lot of guys injuring themselves and also getting injured because of other scenarios going on out there.
So we'll just quickly shift the gear. I know we're running out of time here. Your X factors for this game, these intangibles. What are the intangibles for your team right now that will help get them a victory on Sunday?
Running game, running game, running game. We got to get Connor and Edmonds involved somehow to create opportunities for us to try to get over the top of your defense from time to time. You bring up the fact that you guys have been letting everything happen in front of you, keeping it in front of you and just, you know, not giving up big plays. And eventually something will happen. You make, you know, get the field all, get them all, maybe not in three and out, but eventually you get the offense off the field. I think they did the same thing to Tom Brady and them. If we don't come out and establish a running game and all of a sudden we're going to want to get out there and just start throwing it around, then we get into those three and outs or very predictable passing downs. Kyler, we've seen him over the first three games. He's already thrown a pick six, thrown a couple other questionable ones. Keeping hold of the ball, no mistakes, is going to be key. If we don't establish a running game, give Kyler an opportunity somehow, some way to create some big plays over the top, we're going to, I think this is going to be a long day for us because I don't necessarily think we can go toe to toe in terms of like tip for tat scoring because at some point we might make a mistake. Defensively, honestly, we have to get pressure on Stafford and stop your running game to where at least we turn you guys into a one dimensional team. We allow you to run the ball and then have your play action and then have to protect over the top with the weapons you guys have, we're going to be in for a long day. We've gotten away with a few things, Derek. Our secondary is they've been, quote-unquote, semi-impressive to some. I look at some of our competition and what we did, and obviously we played a rookie quarterback in Trevor Lawrence last week. We'll take that. We'll take a win is a win is a win. But we're not playing Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars offense this week. We let you guys get too comfortable and we don't get pressure on Stafford. And he's sitting back there picking us apart, short running game. Then next, you know, over the top, it could get ugly fast. And, you know, I have my doubts about this game.
So all that in mind, care to make a prediction?
We did our podcast earlier this week and I'm never shy, man. I call it the way I think I see it. I'm wrong sometimes, I'm right sometimes. This one, I have the Rams 30-21, somewhere in that area. Mm-hmm. I just think you guys have a little too much firepower. And honestly, we haven't seen what you guys are bringing to the table yet. So until, you know, like I said, there's a lot of factors. We're going to get some pressure. We got to do this. We got to do that. We have to have some type of running game. I haven't seen it all work yet. And another thing, we faced a little minor adversity, but we really haven't. You know, other than being down 13-7 to the Jaguars, you know, that doesn't really cause you like big fear. Mm-hmm. But we haven't gone down 14 or anything like that where all of a sudden now the clock's against us and we got to pick up the pace and do different things. And sometimes adversity can bring the light to the surface and sometimes it can get buried. So it'll be interesting to see if we happen to fall behind or if things aren't going our way right out the gate, how this one goes. But I do have you guys winning this game, dropping us to 3-1, and there's nothing wrong with no shame in 3-1. Like I said, I'm not ready to pick the Cardinals to go on the road to Los Angeles to beat the Rams.
I have it at 34-20, not too different.
Okay,
right, not too different at all. I do have a Rams win. I also think that come later in the season, when the Cardinals have faced some more fire going to Arizona, it will probably be a split. That's kind of how I'm looking at it.
It could be. Yep.
So can you let folks know where they can find you?
Yes, sir. First, man, appreciate you having me on again this year. They can find me and my partner. We do the Believe in the Arizona Cardinals podcast. That's on the Believe Network, BLEAV. You can find us on Easy Sports Talk show every Saturday from 10 to noon out here in Arizona as well. You can go to Facebook and follow the show. It's the Easy Sports Talking. That's easy. And then on Twitter and Instagram at Ed Smith Speaks, as well as the Easy Sports Talk Show. So those are the different ways. And like I said, I really appreciate you having me on, man. And the cool thing is we get to do it twice a year because we're playing division.
And it's always a fun conversation with you. It will we'll definitely be talking again. I know we'll be talking this weekend. So
yeah, we'll be on Saturday.
Okay, let's go for a great game on Sunday.
Sounds good, man.
All right, so Mike, he thinks this is a 31-20 game. Rams win. He's got a lot of doubts about the Cardinals. He feels like, you know, hey, this team right now is improved, but they still have a way to go. Their strength of schedule has not been strong, and that they're not really a great matchup just yet for the Rams. Maybe later this year as they get better. Where do you see this overall? I mean, do you count this as a win? What's your prediction for it?
Well, again, I'm going to say it's more like 21-17 Rams, in that I believe their front seven is going to at least be able to continue to maintain where they've done. Now, my thing is, that's why offensively, the third and sixes, we got to get those. You know, we got to score when we get in the red zone, or else you get down there three times and you only come away with 9 points. Well, that's only a touchdown and a field goal, and you still lose. A game like that can play into the favor of, you know, Kyler Murray, because then, you know, hey, maybe he starts running more or less. But I believe defensively, we're going to get a number of turnovers, especially by way of interceptions, because what happens when you're playing a game like this, you got to believe Arizona, they're 3-0 as well. So somebody's going to leave with a loss. So, like anything, and maybe the Rams had a little extra playing the Super Bowl champions in Tampa Bay last week, but I believe Arizona is going to come in here with a little extra as well.
What about the home field advantage?
Well, that's going to play big. I think, you know, fans are learning that, hey, their voices, their cheers make a big difference. But again, they're coming into a place that they can see that the Rams play pretty well in. So you take all those things into consideration, we're going to come out on top, is my opinion, based on all matters, whether it's, you know, you start chopping it down. Well, where are you? Quarterback. Oh, well, listen, I'm favoring Stafford. Receivers. Well, they got Julio Jones and another guy over there. Well, okay. Maybe it's even. But again, they don't have someone as fast as DeSean Jackson. So maybe tilt the skills. Now, off running back wise or offense, you may tilt to the Cardinals until we can show we can consistently run. And then you kind of just keep going down and you kind of go, well, we got a pluses here. They got a couple there. Overall, we got more of these and we got more of that. So that's where I say home field, again, doing the normal things that you do week in and week out, that's going to give you an advantage. But I think more importantly, the confidence level that the Rams are playing in is going to be the difference.
I mean, to me, having a legit home field, like we talked about in our last show, having a legit home field, a team that I think is still coming together, where the Rams, you know, they're there. They seem like they have everything in order at this point. They know who they are, where they're going, which is a far cry from the last 2 years where you couldn't really tell who the Rams were. I also, though, wonder, is there any chance, and you tell me, is there any chance of a letdown coming off that big Tampa game?
Well, there's always a chance of that, but the thing is, you get with guys like Jalen Ramsey. You know, we talked about Stafford, Cooper Kupp. These guys have been in the league long enough to know that, one, it's a long season. And winning a game in week 3, okay, now what happens if you lose the next 13? Well, oh, yeah, we start out 3-0. So I think there's enough veteran leadership and just the way they're playing to keep things, I don't want to say even keel. Yes, you want to enjoy a great win. But at the end of the day, I'm sure they look at it not so much, oh, man, yeah, we're so great. We'd be the Super Bowl champs. It's like, I would imagine they believe, yeah, man, that's nothing because we feel like we're better than them. So I think all things being considered, the veteran leadership should pay some dividends in that. I don't think it should be a letdown. That's always a chance. You know, you play a good team and maybe they got up for them. But I think more than anything, given all the factors, I don't know that they really got up for the Bucks, except they're going, let's just show them what L.A. Ram football is all about. And I think that'll be a repeat this week that, hey, guys, yeah, we're not taking you lightly, but you got to look at us as a real legitimate football team.
All right. So there you go. I'm calling the victory as well. I mean, it's pretty much straight down the board. It may be different when they go to Arizona. This is a much better Arizona team.
Yes.
But I'm calling as well. All right, folks, it's time for us to get out of here. You can find us on Twitter at Talk Rams. You can find Mike on Twitter at 1223 and me at DC Apollo. Don't forget to give us a review, a nice 5-star review on Apple Music. We really appreciate that as well. In the meantime, for Mike and the entire team here, we're out of here. Have a great one.
Have a great one. We're out.